Heavenly Father, I ask for strength for myself. And I ask for your people that you captivate their heart, that you stir in them the desires that you have placed in them before they were, that such a passion would well up within them that they can't sit still, that they have to grab hold of your plans and your purposes for their lives. Light a fire in them that they cannot contain, because that's your desire, God. So fulfill your desires in them today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask that when I'm done, you don't leave right away. I really think it would be appropriate if we just take some time before the Lord, get alone with him, have some conversation, because you're not an accident. You're not here by accident. You weren't born by accident. You have meaning, you have purpose, and there's a plan for your life. And it's about time that you step into fulfilling that. And it takes a conscious effort. It doesn't take a pew sitter. And I believe that God wants to ignite in you the things that he created you for, if you will allow him. And I believe the whole year hinges on us as a people of God grabbing hold of his plans and purposes for our lives and beginning to fulfill that which he's called us to do. We started the new year off, and I'm going to recap that just in case you haven't been able to get on the website and hear it, talking about purpose and vision. And I'm just going to give you some of the one-liners, and then I'm going to get on to really what I believe God gave me to share with you. And it's really what you should expect in ministry this year. Okay? I believe Jesus gave us principles of ministry that we need to understand and expect so we can step into it. So that's the basis of this. So if you didn't make it to the New Year's Eve service, I thought it was just a really good service. There was so much passion shared. And, you know, we don't share our passions enough. I mean, you know, it's exciting to hear people talk when they're passionate about something, right? And God has put these passions within us. How many, God so loved the world. God was so passionate that he had to do something. That same DNA of God has been placed in you. There's a passion he's placed in you that you have to do something. And it's about time we start igniting those passions and doing something. And each of it is an individual calling, but there's also a collective calling. So some of the things that I said on New Year's Eve, I just want to lay out really quickly, and if you really want to get the detail of it, you can go to the website and listen to it. But God has given purpose and made plans for you. 1.1. Even Jesus had purpose. As a matter of fact, Jesus was effective on this earth because he lived to fulfill the purpose given to him by the Father. Key to his effectiveness. A lot of people like to think, well, he was God, therefore he was effective. No, he was effective because he did the will of the Father. Simple. You want to be effective? Do the will of the Father. You want to do greater things, which Jesus said you would do, by the way, Do the will of the Father. Well, how do I know what to do? He has placed it in your heart. And we talked about that a little bit. And then we gave some definitions. And again, this is just a brief summary. Purpose is when you know and understand what you were born to accomplish. Vision is when you can see in your mind by faith and begin to imagine it. Vision is a glimpse of the future that God has purposed. Individual purpose and vision should help fulfill corporate vision and purpose. I even like to say vision is seeing that which is unseen. And we talked about some of the plans that there's always been for this property and stuff. And I said, can you see it? Can you see a 24/7 prayer center? Can you see functioning schools of ministry? Can you see it? I can see people in the picnic park area, you know, just fellowshipping around the goodness of God before they go to class. I can see things that aren't there right now. That's vision. God's given you vision. Sight is a function of the eyes, but vision is a function of the heart. Remember, it's in your heart. Eyes that look are common, but eyes that see are rare. Without vision, sight has no hope. Sight is the ability to see things as they are. Vision is the capacity to see things as they could be. Okay, so that sums up our New Year's Eve service from the speaking side. And then we had some wonderful time at the different ministry heads, team members sharing their purpose and vision for ministry. And I strongly encourage you, one, to go and listen to that complete service. And the other thing, I strongly encourage you that aren't members to become members. Now, I've been in this church for slightly over 59 years. Basically since I was born. And I think I was about, I don't know, 35 when I became a member. I just never saw the need. This is my home anyway, so why? It's like you're born in a home. It's not like I had announced one day I'm a son. You know, and then God started dealing with my heart on things and dealing with commitment and covenant and making a statement and making a stand and standing for something. And before I knew it, that which I didn't care about at all, he was calling me to do, which was become a member. So I strongly encourage you, and it's interesting because there's people within my own family that aren't members. So they all know who I'm talking to. to become members. It's actually really important, and until you make that step, I don't think you understand fully the importance of it. And it's also something you don't do lightly. You should know what God's doing in your heart, because it's really a heart commitment and a heart covenant. But I strongly encourage you. Now, I want to talk a little bit about ministry. And I mentioned this at New Year's Eve. I believe there's some principles of ministry that are important to understand that were laid out in the Bible that you will see in every ministry that comes forth in this church, every ministry that you're ever involved with. And these things happen for all successful ministries. Now I want to take a step back just for a minute. I don't remember how long ago it was. That could be getting older. But I spoke and I said, I believe we're heading into a time of a season of fruit. You guys remember that? Your ministry will be fruitful. And this place will be fruitful because we're going to follow these principles. And when you follow what God has laid out, the outcome is always fruit. So why do I say that? Because there should be some expectations being raised in this place. We're not going to go through this year and see God do nothing. God is always about doing something. I have trees, and every year they produce fruit. And there's certain things I do to assist them in their fruit efforts, right? But they always produce fruit. Always. What's that mean? It means I have an apple I didn't have that I don't have right now. Come summer, I will have. There's people that are destined to be sitting in these seats that aren't here right now. Can you see them? Because if you can see them, then you're open to be part of assisting them into their seat. It might just be the person that you had no idea you were going to talk to at the gas station. But you are open to it because you're listening to, what would God want me to do today? It's a season of fruit, but you have a part to play. So, what are these principles? The first one is activation. You say, what does that look like? I'll just give you the example of Jesus because it was very simple. And there's lots of examples, but I like to keep things simple. Matthew 4:18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Matthew 9:9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. So what is that? I'm calling it activation. See, what you had New Year's Eve service was people get up and start the process of activation. Why? There was an invitation. There was a declaration. There was an announcement. What were they saying? Something is going to get started, or something is happening. There was an opportunity presented to you to participate in something that either is or will be. Whatever that participation is, it is called activation. It's the start of something. Another used to sing that song, I just feel like something good is about to happen. Right? I mean, know that. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that he'd open all of heaven. Brother, it could happen any day. When God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus, and they look to heaven expecting as they pray, I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, it could be this very day. What do you feel? Do you feel like something's going to happen? Is there an expectation rising in your soul? Is what God's put inside of you starting to burn? Is there kindling going on? Is there a flame about to be ignited? Are you about to jump out of your seat because you got to do something? that God's called you to do. It's activation. Luke 9:57 says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. What am I saying? I'm saying, come along with activation comes the word engagement. See, some actually followed. They had the opportunity presented. They left everything and followed. And some thought about all the things they had to do first. A key in the whole process of ministry is this: engagement. We like to blame leaders for lack of things going on, when we should look in the mirror, because there's plenty of opportunities presented every day in our lives. All we have to do is engage. There is no ministry that takes place without you engaging in it. I'm going to go on. Now, we could sit here and go through all the Gospels and all the things Jesus did with his disciples, those that followed him, correct? And we'd never exhaust it. But I want to sum it down to this and just share a few verses that support it. It is simply this, and this is what you should expect from leaders, ministry team members, and God himself. It's the word equipping. See, Jesus didn't say, come follow me, and then just, that was it. Jesus not only taught them, not only demonstrated thing, he lived with them. He personified the word equipping. They got to experience the ministry of Jesus. They got to begin to understand what ministry looked like. It was demonstrated to them. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for what? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Why? So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Is equipping important? He gave us his word. You know, you could have the worst leadership in the church and you have no excuse. Why? Because you have his word, and it is more than sufficient to fully equip and train you for everything he's called you to do. Philippians 4:9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. What is Paul saying here? He's saying, I've shown you. I've demonstrated it. I've lived it. You've seen it. You know exactly what to do because I've done it in your presence. I will tell you, nothing in this world beats experience. But experience does not trump the word of God. experience always of God supports his word. Always. But I'll tell you what, there's something deep within your soul that you will not let go of if you've experienced it. If you've raised someone from the dead under the direction of the Holy Spirit, you will never say that God doesn't raise people from the dead, regardless of every scientific proof. If you've seen a limb grow where there was no limb, you will never say that God doesn't do miracles, because you've experienced it. It doesn't matter what someone says. Part of being fully equipped is experiencing the tangible, manifest presence of God and everything that comes with it. He doesn't activate you for ministry and you engage to leave you there alone. That which he starts in you, he was going to carry through to the end for his glory. You think all the fruit's for you. It's because he has an appetite and he likes good fruit. I'm serious. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. You say, what's that have to do with equipping? I find that as one of the most encouraging scriptures we have to live in this life. Why? Because he's told us. But part of the equipping is informing you. Nothing should take you by surprise. Why? Because he's told you. Yep, life has its troubles. Why are you surprised? You also shouldn't be surprised that you live victorious through it. Why? Because he's told you. What else he told you? You're more than a conqueror. He's told you he's overcome. Therefore, you can live overcoming. You can live in victory. You know the score. See, this is one of the most encouraging verses there is. Encouragement and information provided to you is part of equipping. Sometimes it's just, you can do it. You can do it. If he's called you to do it, you can do it. Ephesians 4:12. So Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So what can you expect from those in leadership, those you're serving with as part of the team? You can expect they fulfill that to equip you. What does that look like? It may be a conference. It may be a guest speaker. It may be a seminar. It could be all kinds of things. It may be throwing you out of the boat and seeing if you sink or swim. You know, so the birds just kick their things out of the nest and see if they fly, right? Talk about equipping. You're activated, you engage, you will be equipped. But the best part's the last part to me. It's called empowerment. Mark 6:6 says this, and Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. See, he called them, they responded. He taught them, he equipped them, he trained them, he sent them. But before he sent them, he gave them power. Why? So they were fully prepared to carry out that which he destined them to do.
So they were without excuse. We're without excuse.
So what does all this have to do with us? Hopefully I summarize this well. I'm on the last lap here. We all know what's called the Great Commission, Mark 16:15. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. See, that is activation. Okay? We've already been shown that he's given us his word, and he's given us gifts to equip us for ministry. So then what's he say in Luke 24:49? I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And then in Acts, it says it this way, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we see the whole spectrum within the Great Commission and what Jesus did, right? We see activation. We see the equipping. We see empowerment. That's where he left us. Okay? He's called us to something. He's put passion in our heart. Hopefully he's stirring that up in you now. And there's only one question, and it's this. Second Chronicles 7:14. As if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. So, say, what's that have to do with any of this? Here's what it has to do with it. There's activation, equipping, there's empowerment. Those have nothing to do with you. Key to ministry, engagement. Most important word in the Bible right now, to you. If. And that's my question to you. If. God has laid out a lot of fantastic things for your life. You don't understand the amazing, awesome, unimaginable, unexplainable, incomprehensible things, that wonderful, miraculous, I can't believe God could do all these things in and through me that he has planned for your life. And they're all conditional. If. So, we have a service, and you have people get up and share their passion, share the things God has put in their heart that he wants to accomplish, not only with them, but with this body of believers. If you hear a prophetic word come forth, and you hear the things God has promised is, and that are going to happen, and how he wants to save a city, and how he wants to do this in and through this place, and he wants you to participate in things, and he wants you to lay hands on the sick and see them healed, and raise the dead, and cleanse the lepers, and do all these things, and see a wretched city saved, and be a holy city, beacon on a hill. If. We gather together to be in the manifest presence of God, and we want to see God do all these things, and he's saying, if. So my question is simply that to you today. Will you allow God to fan the flames of what he's already put in your heart? He'll handle it all. So I know the plans he has for you. He's written them down. He's written them on your heart. If. So if you'll stand with me. I simply ask that no one leave right now. And if you could cue some music, I want us to take at least 5 minutes. And I want you to really connect with God and ask him to make things clear to you. What truly has he called you to do? What is the destiny he has for your life? What are those passions? What is he activating in you? What is he waiting for you to say, there is no if? It's simply yes, Lord. And don't leave till you know it. Why? Because it's a season of fruit, and it's just waiting for your answer. So Heavenly Father, I bless your people because you've already blessed them. Lord, you've already called them. You've already anointed them. You've equipped them. You've empowered them. You have put things in their hearts that they don't even know are there yet. And I just ask that you begin to expose those things and light a passion and fire in them for what you want to do with them this year. Why? Because we want to produce fruit for you. We want to see you glorified in each individual life, in this place, in this city. And we want to answer the affirmative. We will engage with whatever you called us to do. I thank you for it. I bless them. In Jesus' name, Lord, open their ears, open their eyes, and I thank you for what's ahead because you've already spoken it forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Find a place.